But now I'm very, very excited to welcome onto the airwaves Paul Howard, and children's author Sarah Webb has invited a slew of well-known people to send out inspirational videos to sixth class students, because it is obviously an unusual time to mark the end of a school life going on to secondary school. And she's asked writers and sports people and actors and scientists to come on board and help with this sixth class messaging. And Paul Howard is part of that. How are you, Paul?
I'm great. I'm growing well as I can be.
Yeah, how are you coping, actually?
This new normal.
Yeah. Do you think you're coping well, or do you think, like everyone, where I suppose it's all normal to have the ups and the downs?
Yeah, I think there's times when it hits me. I'm very busy at this time of year usually, so I don't really see many people at this time of year. So this is kind of normal for me when I have book deadlines for the autumn, that I'm sort of stuck in the house, not seeing my friends or anything. But, you know, there's times when the strangeness of it
yes.
hits me. Like, you know, yesterday when, you know, I'm standing over the sink and my wife was shaving my head.
Yeah.
You know, I walked into the post office the other day with a mask over my face, you know, and just crossing the road when I see my neighbors, like we're in some kind of zombie apocalypse movie. So those kind of things I don't think I'll ever get used to.
And I think it's getting, when, you know, we're allowed to go through the stages and get coaxed further into society again, it's going to be strange, because yesterday I stayed on to record something and the afternoon guys came in, like Anna and Deck, and at one stage there were seven of us standing on the floor, and I was like, oh my God, I'm not used to this volume of people after 10 weeks of only seeing one person at a time or two people at a time. So we're going to have to get used to it again, obviously, as well.
Yeah, it's very strange. Even when I watch movies now and I see people in you know, at close quarters with each other, shaking hands or hugging each other, it gives you a jolt, you know. You kind of think, should you be doing that, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't know when the lockdown ends, and it is going to end gradually. I don't really know yet, like a lot of people, whether I'm going to come out, you know, really tentatively, like a bear coming out of hibernation, or if I'm going to just go out of there like a dog out of a trap or something, you know?
I know, Paul, I'm going to be that bear. It's going to take a while to coax me out. But obviously we all have memories of, you know, graduating from primary to secondary. It's a massive deal. And then there's a whole group of children in Ireland that are going to be missing out on that experience this year. So Sarah Webb has asked a bunch of people to come together and send out messages, and it's all gone live on a YouTube channel. Yesterday it was launched at around 10 a.m. and Inside the Indo. And I love your advice. Do you remember what you wrote Inside the Indo, your advice to kids?
I just told them to enjoy taking all those things that annoyed their teacher about them in primary school, and to enjoy inflicting on a whole load of new teachers in secondary school, which is essentially what I did.
Oh, I loved it. It was my favorite. But do you have such a clear memory of that time in your life? I mean, not that it was that long ago for us, Paul, but I have a really clear memory of that.
I graduated from secondary school from primary school in 1983. So that's 37 years ago.
Wow.
But I have an absolutely clear memory of it, because the last thing we did in primary school was we did a play called The Football Pools. And I was cast as the dad in this. It was kind of like a sort of English comedy, kind of Eton comedy type thing. And it was about this dad who discovered that he won the pools, and he gets all these notions about what he's going to do. And then the son says, I forgot to post the coupon. And I was the dad in it, and I was called Mr. Weston. And I had this big pipe. I'll never forget the pipe. And I was sort of smoking the pipe. And what's interesting is it was for me, it was the first time I ever kind of like listening to an audience laughing. It was the first time I ever got a notion that this is what I wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, I wanted to make people laugh. I absolutely loved that feeling of standing up on the stage and this wave of laughter coming back at you. And I think that was what awakened my interest in comedy and just in entertaining people. And I did a gig recently, two gigs in Dundrum in the Mill Theatre for Goal, a charity I do some work with.
Mm.
And Mr. Barry, PJ Barry, who was my sixth class teacher, was at the gig.
Wow.
And he came up to me afterwards. I had a lovely conversation. I hadn't seen him in, you know, close to 40 years. But it was just nice to be able to tell him that story, that him casting me in the football pools as Mr. Weston just completely opened up, you know, a new avenue to me, you know, just this idea that you could actually make people laugh, and for me to realize how just utterly gratifying that is, you know. It is like it's such a thrill, and I discovered it on that last day.
That's amazing. That is amazing. And I think that for a lot of children going through this as well, is just knowing that that confidence, that that world that you were so familiar with and is changing, and some of the friends aren't going in the same school as you are, but just knowing that you do adapt and you do grow and you do find, you know, a new tribe there. And I remember my dad saying that to me, and I was like, how, because we had the same kids in the same class from when we were four right through till, in Canada, you're about 13, 14 going into secondary school. So it's a long time. And that he was like, no, you will find other friends. I'm like, but my world is this. I can't imagine it getting any bigger or going in a different direction. So it's important for kids to know that it does work out okay, and it will work out okay.
I think the most disorientating thing is in primary school, you're the oldest. When you graduate, you're the oldest kids in the school. And when you go into secondary school, you're suddenly the youngest. And everybody seems just impossibly older than you.
Yeah.
I remember on my first day in secondary school, I was sitting in my first period, it was a library period, my first class, and I was sitting there and everything just seemed so big. Yeah. Everybody around me seemed so old, and I was kind of looking around a bit goggle-eyed at everything. And I got a tap on the shoulder, and this man's voice said, "That's three times I've seen you look up now. I want you to write some lines." Now, I looked like Buddy Holly when I was about 12 or 13. And Buddy Holly became my nickname for about the first 2 years.
That's a good look, though. It's a good look.
I mean, I love Buddy Holly, so why not? But the lines he told me to write were, "If you knew Peggy Sue, then you'd know why I feel blue Peggy Sue." And I started writing this out. I probably wrote it 30 or 40 times before I realized that it wasn't a teacher. It was actually one of the 6 years.
Oh my God, amazing.
Having some fun. But that's the thing I remember about making this transition.
Yeah.
Everybody seems so much older. But when you get that old yourself, when you get into fifth and sixth year, you'll realize, you know, you'll be top dogs again.
I just remember like our head boy and head girl. I was like, they must be about 40, but they're like 17. So yeah, people can find out. People can find out more about all this, childrensbooksireland.ie, and it's a lovely idea. It's a brilliant idea from Sarah Webb, just being cognizant that it is unusual time for sixth class students in Ireland. But Paul, I wanted to ask you, the last time you were on, you and Gordon Darcy, you obviously were talking about your first joint venture together, your book, and you've gone on, I believe, and a second one. You mentioned it at the time, but I haven't caught up with you about it since then.
Yeah, I mean, the first book, Gordon's Game, ends with a cliffhanger, quite a significant cliffhanger, where Gordon is called to the principal's office in school, and he walks in and there's somebody sitting there, and he does a double take because it's Joe Schmidt. And Joe Schmidt says to him, "Gordon, I thought you played really well in the Six Nations for Ireland. How would you like to play for Leinster?" So that's the jumping off point with the new book, which we've just finished work on.
Wow.
Gordon goes off to play for Leinster. And it's much like the first book. There's lots of fun, lots of laughs. Most of the stories in the book are either true or have their basis in truth. It's the next chapter of Gordon's adventures. Gordon, Gordon had a really interesting rugby career.
He sure did, definitely. And I love that it's the two of you together on this. Like, you know, people that you wouldn't necessarily put together maybe, even though your paths might have crossed, of course, in the past. But I love it. And it's actually good to point out, Paul, that there are lots of laughs in it. It's a great book.
Oh, thanks very much. I mean, we wanted it to be fun. That was the thing. I mean, there's lessons in the book because Gordon learned lots of lessons in his career, quite often the hard way.
Yeah.
But when he approached me about it, he told me he didn't want to write a straight autobiography. And I was really relieved because I wasn't that interested in writing a straight autobiography. And when he said he wanted to tell his story as a series of children's books, I just got really excited about it. I just thought, what a brilliant idea. What an original, clever way to tell the story of a sporting legend.
Yeah, I think, and it's done so well for you guys, and it's absolutely amazing. So it's really good news to hear that there's a second one on the way. And Paul, can I just play you a clip, because you've done a podcast recently with Roisin Ingle, and I didn't know this about you, but I think that we might be battling it out for the biggest fans of this particular franchise. You have a room, I believe, entirely dedicated to Star Wars paraphernalia.
I shouldn't have told Roisin that. I knew it at the time.
But it is the best. Yeah. It's the best film of all time. Film franchise, certainly, in my mind.
I mean, I was just at the right age for Star Wars. Like, I was seven when the first movie came out when I first saw it in 1978. And I was just that impressionable age.
Like, yeah.
It just caught me at exactly the right time. And I collected all the figures as a kid. But the funny thing is, my mom and dad never stopped buying me Star Wars toys for Christmas and birthdays, like right the way through my 20s and 30s.
Because they're awesome. You know,
for my 30th birthday, I opened my present, and it's this talking Jar Jar Binks. It's about this size.
Oh no, the worst character though.
it's incredibly annoying. You press this button and he dances and he says, "Hello, Misa called Jar Jar Binks."
Oh,
and then
no.
It's time for a little boogie. And then he does this kind of dance thing. It's incredibly annoying. But I had all this stuff, and I've got loads and loads of Star Wars stuff. And about probably 10 years ago, it was a bank holiday weekend, and Mary, my wife, said, "You know, let's just put some shelves up and put them on the wall." I don't think I realized until I actually started kind of putting them on display how much I had.
So it's impressive now. It's very impressive.
All four walls of the room, and there's a bed in the middle. And my dad comes to stay sometimes, especially around Christmas time, and I make him sleep in the Star Wars room with all of these toys.
I love it. And I've always been a massive fan. And thankfully, we have an excuse to kind of revisit the franchise every year, because my daughter is May the 4th baby, which is amazing. So we always watch the movies around her birthday time, and she's definitely gotten into it. And she's like, "Mommy, why do you blush every time that man comes on the screen?" I'm like, "Because Harrison Ford as Han Solo is quite frankly the hottest thing ever to have existed." She loves it. Paul, listen, it's an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for your time this morning.
Thanks for having me on.
And we'll have loads more reasons to chat again, I'm sure. Thank you so much, Paul. Take care.
Pleasure.
Bye. And if you want to find out more about Sarah Webb's work and everybody that's involved, it's childrensbooksireland.ie.